listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Georgia could not have gotten off to a better start in the first few minutes of this national championship game. They quickly get their defense right off the field as TCU got the ball first. First play of the game, TCU had a false start. And then Stetson Bennett on his first drive caps it off with a 20-plus yard touchdown run. And now TCU has the ball back, but they're facing a 3rd and 14. So if Georgia gets off the field here, they could get the ball back and they could maybe go up by 2 touchdowns. As that ball is going to be incomplete, so TCU is about to punt the football as you TCU and Georgia in the national title game with 9:40 to go in the first quarter, and Georgia is up 7-0. But hold on, there's a flag on the play, and TCU benefits from a holding penalty on the Georgia defense, so that's going to make it a first down. As Georgia thought they were getting off the field. Let's see if this is a good holding call. If they called it on the player that was on Marcus Johnston, then yes. Then that was a good call. But Kirby Smart was irate when he was talking to the officials. TCU just snapped the ball, and they are going to get... Oh, they fumbled the ball. They fumbled the ball, and I think Georgia recovered. Georgia did. Oh! Talk about a wave of emotions, Hickey. You're already down 7-0. You get a call from the officials, a holding call, when it looked like you were just going to have to go punt the ball. And then the next play, you fumble the ball. And yep, that ball is out. Is it a clear recovery? Ball's just sitting there. It is. What a miserable start. Miserable start, Hickey, for the Horned Frogs.
Not great, but nowhere they haven't been before. This is a team that is a second, you know, the best half for them is the second half.
But they haven't played this team.
An anomaly even last week or 2 weeks ago against Michigan at this point when they actually got off to a hot start. This is a team that's, you know, slow start. But, I mean, yeah, like football is a 60-minute game. Georgia's also, you know, you saw against Ohio State with Ohio State banged up with all their skill positions, still struggled slowing them down. So, still a long game. I'm not panicking just yet over a 7-0 game early on.
Well, I took TCU plus the points tonight, and I'm panicking right now. And it's not because of the wager that I did place, but I know that what you're going to tell me about TCU and them being a second-half team and them being wonderful and this remarkable season that they've had, which all things are true, this is a different animal. This is Georgia, where you saw Ohio State throw everything they could at Georgia when Georgia did not play their best game, and Ohio State just has more talent than TCU does, and that wasn't enough. Right now, early on, TCU does not look ready for the moment. And Georgia, after the Stetson Bennett completion, is already down to the Horned Frogs 12-yard line. So you could not get a more perfect start if you're Georgia. Obviously, the only thing that makes it better is if you cap it off with 2 touchdowns. At this rate, if you're TCU, you're hoping, and I don't think they're going to get a turnover in this spot. I know Michigan last week, they were at the 1-yard line, and then Michigan had a bunch of brain farts in that game. But if you're TCU, you're hoping just for a college kicker to miss a kick, or you're just hoping that you hold them to a field goal and you make this a 10-0 game, and you got to go down the field and get some points on the board. And we'll continue to keep you updated on this, obviously, until we get off the air at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. But Georgia, with a perfect, perfect, perfect start, they're up 7-0 against TCU, and they do have the ball, and they are driving as they're knocking on the door for another touchdown right out of the gate as there's 7:55 remaining in this first quarter of the national championship game. The total yards so far in this game, 90 for Georgia, TCU with one. So let's just keep it here before we get to a little onsides, offside, and just see how this drive is going to sort of wrap up. Oh, as there's a deflection by the TCU defense, and that's going to create 3rd and 7. So this is a pivotal moment early for TCU's defense. You got to find a way to force a field goal and just weather this storm, because Georgia is ready to strike. Georgia is ready to pounce. Georgia going into this on the verge of back-to-back national championships. This game would, and this season would mean more than last season, even though last season was incredible, because even with all that Georgia lost, people knew they were still going to have an opportunity to be a college football playoff. But to be this dominant, 14-0, on the verge of 15-0, it's sustained success and it's extra special. And on this 3rd-and-7 play, TCU's defense, they prevent them from getting a first down. There's a completion. Looks like it's going to be 4th-and-3. So they're going to be, what are they at, like the 5 or the 6 yard line, maybe the 7. I wonder if TCU, if Georgia's going to go for it on 4th-and-3, you just take the points. Personally, Hickey, I don't know about you. I would take the points here, but I know in this day and age, not a lot of people do take the points. But Georgia is lining up for the field goal. I think this is, I guess, if you want to find one positive for TCU, you're not down 14-0. You need to hold them to a field goal attempt. Let's just see if the kick is going to be good or not. And it is through. So Georgia's up 10-0 against TCU with 6:51 remaining in the first quarter. 5 questions, 5 answers. We do this every Monday and Friday on CBS Sports Radio. We call the segment Onside's Offside. Hot Take Hickey. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside! Defense number 69!
It's Onside's Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Ba-dum, boom, boom, boom. All right, what do we got?
All right, Zach, the Packers were knocked out of the playoffs with a 20-16 loss to the Lions on Sunday night, which now opens up a can of worms yet again on Aaron Rodgers' future. Rodgers, after the game, was asked for his jersey by Jameson Williams, in which the 18-year vet said, quote, "I'm going to hold on to this one," end quote. Later on in the postgame press conference, Rodgers...
And I know where this question is going. Nothing against Jameson Williams. If, let's just say, I don't know, that was a player who has some clout in this league and sustained success in this league. Let's say if that was, I don't know, J.J. Watt or Joe Burrow or someone. You think Rodgers says no in that moment? Or is that maybe this could be my final game, or I'm just not giving my jersey to Jameson Williams?
I have no idea. To be honest, I have no idea. I don't know what the protocol is. I don't know if there's a hierarchy of, if you're a great player, only great players can trade jerseys to the great players. If you're Aaron Rodgers, would you rather give it to Jamal Williams, maybe? I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, like...
no clue.
Would you be protective with your jersey? Or anyone that's asking for it, depends. You just give it?
It depends. Well, like, if it, the game means something, yeah, I want to keep it with my stuff. If it's like a nondescript game.
What, are you a hoarder?
No, but if that was Aaron Rodgers' last game, I would want to keep that jersey. If I threw for 500 yards, I'd want to keep that jersey. But if it's just a nondescript Week 13 game where it's like, ho-hum, sure, you want to take it.
Were you a big, when you played high school football, were you big into keeping your jersey when your career was over? Did you keep your high school football jersey?
We were allowed to, yeah, so
oh,
I kept
you were?
It. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We had to pay the school if we wanted to keep our jersey, because they kept the jersey and then reissued it for years later.
And we could keep one a year, home or a road.
Oh, really? You have your jerseys framed?
No.
I don't know. You're kind of like the Hardo that would frame his high school football jerseys.
I am not. The one word I would use to, or not use to describe myself, is Hardo.
You are douchey enough to do that.
No, I am not. I am not going to prop up my high school career and make it be something that it absolutely was not. So there's no reason to frame the jersey.
Really? You're the same guy that claims, I almost walked on to Penn State football. I was this high school football legend. I'm not going to brag.
I didn't almost walk on. All I claimed, I didn't claim anything. I just told you the story of what happened. I dropped the ball and hit Braylon O'Brien's foot.
You've told me before that you were a pretty good high school football player.
I'm pretty sure that was you hyping me up, if anything. When this came out.
Based off the information that I was told by you, you liar.
DA was talking about my high school career. Like, I'll tell you this. I'm not the one propping up my own stats. No, everyone else can do it here.
The only reason we know about it is because you've talked about it before. Anyway, though, give me the question here.
All right, so Aaron Rodgers says no thank you to Jameson Williams when he's asked for his jersey. Later on in the postgame press conference, Rodgers says he wants to take time to evaluate his future. He'll not make a decision on whether he's come back or gonna retire anytime soon. Onsides or offsides, Aaron Rodgers has played his final game for the Packers.
I don't think he's getting traded, so if it's his final game when it comes to this offseason, it would have to be via retirement. I think he's coming back. I think he's starting next week if he's healthy for the Packers. Week one next year, I should say. So Aaron Rodgers played his final game for the Packers. Yeah, I don't feel that way. Even though last night, I will admit, was a bizarre scene after the game, from the jersey incident that we could look too much into to the postgame press conference as well. It seems like for the last 3 years, everyone thought Rodgers wouldn't be back when you would enter the offseason. He's been back each and every year, so I will go offside on this one. Maybe the third time's a charm, though.
Offside!
The Arizona Cardinals make sweeping changes on Monday as they announced the firing of head coach Cliff Kingsbury and also the departure of general manager Steve Keim due to health reasons. Now, Kingsbury in 4 years was 27-38-1, and the Cardinals, now in their over 100 years of existence, has never had a head coach last longer than six seasons. Oofa. Next year, Arizona will be without Kyler Murray for most of, if not all of, next season, as well as J.J. Watt, who did retire following Sunday's game. Onsides or offsides, the Cardinals are currently the most attractive job that's open right now in the NFL.
So this is a great question, because if you would have asked me this last week, I probably would have said no way. But I look at the Broncos' job. You have a really good defense. You have an offense that you have so much money tied up into Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson could be really good again, maybe, but that's not a sure thing. But you're in a division that has Mahomes and Herbert. So I don't love that Broncos job. You look at the Texans. Does anyone trust that organization? I don't. The Colts? You got a running back as your best player who's phenomenal in Jonathan Taylor. A lot of money tied up into the offensive line, which was horrible this year. No quarterback, but you have the fourth overall pick in the draft. I look at the Panthers. Good young defense. But other than DJ Moore on offense, you got really nothing. So I look at the Cardinals, and I kind of think, even though that division can be tough, you're in a place where it's going to be a new GM. Maybe you are, if you're a coach of that power, able to pick the GM or be the GM yourself. And Kyler Murray, I think, is really good. The question is just, can he be great? Now, you got to adjust the attitude a little bit of Kyler Murray, because I didn't like the way that he conducted himself the last 2 years on the sideline. And I know it's a rebuild, but you got the third overall pick. And I think he could have, just really, compared to some of the other organizations, not many things there that prevent you from doing and operating a program maybe the way that you want it to go. Because the Broncos, it's all about Russ. The Texans, there's no trust there with Cal McNair. The Colts, I don't trust Jim Irsay. The Panthers, I think, could give a run for money in this conversation, but I'm going to go with the Cardinals here. In a weird way, I actually think, in a year where a lot of these jobs aren't attractive, that the Cardinals, kind of because you're in a little bit of obscurity, are the most attractive job, and kind of next year's a punt year anyway because you don't know when Kyler Murray's going to come back. So I will go on sides on this one.
The Houston Texans,
speaking of real here, Hickey.
Unattractive.
These jobs suck. These jobs are really bad this year.
Yeah, there's not a lot that jump out. There's not a lot that you're feeling good and excited about.
Because sometimes there's a job that opens up because of playoff failures. Sometimes, okay, everything just went wrong for a team and you have some optimism. There's not a lot of optimism with these jobs. When I look at these five jobs, and maybe the Cowboys job does open up. That could always be a factor, too, if McCarthy is one and done in the postseason.
I was going to say right now that maybe, in a week or two, we could be having a different conversation about a few other teams that open. But at least right now, the five, yeah, they open for a reason. That is for sure. One of those five include the Houston Texans, who they announced on Sunday night they have fired head coach Lovie Smith after just one season. The Texans were 3-13-1. Now, Smith was fired after David Culley was also a one and done back in 2021. Excuse me. He was 4-13. When you go back to last offseason, look, we all thought the Texans were going to try to hire Josh McCown. But after the Brian Flores lawsuit against the Dolphins in the NFL, it seemed like the Texans panicked.
Brian Flores, they were thinking about hiring, too. And then when you're suing the league, many people thought, okay, you can't hire.
And they pivoted very quickly to Lovie Smith, who was on their staff already, but was before then.
Came out of nowhere, too.
Right, not under consideration whatsoever.
For any NFL head coaching job.
Onsides or offsides, Zach, Lovie Smith should have gotten another year as Texans head coach.
No, because they regressed this year. Like, David Culley, some people thought he did a good job last year. Like, I did. And then everyone in Houston was like, he was not a good coach if you watch each and every game. For Lovie Smith, I know there wasn't much to work with, but that team was embarrassing. Really bad. And he shouldn't have got the job in the first place. So I have no problem with them getting rid of him. Now, they should have never hired him in the first place. You should have just hired who you wanted to hire and take the backlash that came with it. But I'm not going to say that Lovie Smith should have got another year as head coach. He never should have been the guy to begin with. So offside.
Offside.
Now, you could also say Nick Casario shouldn't be able to hire his third head coach, but Cal McNair does everything backwards, so I guess he's going to be allowed to do that from everything that I read.
Third head coach in 3 years. That is probably something we'll never see again, maybe.
Even the Colts can't do that.
No, that well, at least right now. At least right now. Hopefully we don't get to that point. That's for sure.
Max Duggan had a big pass. A few plays later, Max Duggan finds a way into the end zone. So here we go, 10-7. TCU started to make it a game. They are trailing Georgia 10-7, but that defensive stand was big. They turned it into points, held Georgia to a field goal after the TCU fumble. Georgia was up 10-0. Could have been worse for TCU. Then they come back, big play, Duggan with the run, 10-7. Let's go, Horned Frogs. Let's go. Plus the 12.5 I have him tonight. Nice little five-play, 75-yard drive in 2 minutes and 6 seconds. So we are now at 10-7, Georgia on top of TCU, getting the ball back.
No reason to panic.
Don't panic. Don't panic.
Chargers head coach Brandon Staley, he might be panicking because he received a lot of criticism on Sunday for his decision to play his starters for most of the game against the Broncos.
I don't think that's a guy that gives two Fs. I don't think he can care about anything, Brandon Staley.
Well, that's true. He definitely does act on his own accord. That is for sure. And does what people want him to do. He does the opposite, including playing a lot of starters in what was a meaningless game because the Chargers, by the time kickoff, 4:25 Eastern in Denver, because the Ravens lost, they were locked into the 5 seed. But despite that game truly being meaningless, he still played most of the starters, despite the fact the Chargers were one of the most injured teams in all the NFL. And guess what? What do you know? They got injuries. Mike Williams left the game with a back injury, although Brandon Staley said today that he believes that he should be ready to go in time for Saturday night's game in Jacksonville. And also appeared Joey Bosa. I don't know about you, if you guys caught this or not.
Yes.
It looked like he left the game with an injury. Mm-hmm. And Brandon Staley, after the game yesterday and even today, doubled down, but said he didn't come out of the game because of injury. He just came out normally, and that was
maybe
scheduled.
Maybe he said, Coach, I've been hurt all year. Even if you want me to play, I'm not being a moron and stepping foot on that field.
So whatever the case may be, Joey Bosa did not seem right, and he did not return. Coincidence or not, either way, that's something to watch for as we go forward here for Saturday's game against the Jaguars. But onsides or offsides, Brandon Staley deserves heat for playing his starters too long in a meaningless game.
So I usually don't have a problem when coaches play their guys even in a meaningless game, but I think you have to understand the scenarios. So this was Brandon Staley thinking that this was going to mean something, maybe because he thought the Ravens were going to win, but then the Ravens lose. Once you know that, you have to look at your team, and your team has been so injured this year, and they're starting to gel. So with Herbert dealing with injuries this year, with how important Austin Eckler is, with Allen and Williams constantly in and out of the lineup, I know you can't sit everyone, but I'm sitting your main guys because even though everyone thinks Kansas City, Buffalo, Bengals are going to be the team that represents the AFC out of the Super Bowl, like the Chargers have really good talent. The Chargers have been healthy this year. So I think since you survived all this and are already going to the playoffs, you sit your guys down once you know that this game meant nothing, and it took him forever to do that. So, yeah, I think he deserves heat for this one. I usually would give people a pass for this. Injuries happen on a football field, as you know, but this one just didn't make sense, and I kind of said that early, so on sides.
And finally, Sean Payton will officially interview for the Broncos head coach opening after Denver was granted permission by the Saints. Now, obviously, as we know, Payton's services, they'll be in high demand this offseason. And the former Super Bowl winner said on the Fox pregame show Sunday that the most important thing he's looking for with his next team is a relationship between the owner, front office, and head coach. later on in said pregame show. Michael Strahan, Giants great, also now Fox analyst, asked Peyton on a scale of 1 to 10, what are the odds he'll be back at Fox as an analyst next season? Sean Payton said it's a 7.
So it's really out of 10. 5 or a 4.
Which is interesting.
You're obviously going to give a higher number.
Onsides or offsides, Sean Payton will not take a head coach job this offseason.
The more and more I hear him say he wants a relationship with the owner and the GM, that sounds like it's him basically saying, I'll put my people in place or I'll just be the GM and the head coach. Got a GM open in Arizona. Got a head coach position open in Arizona. And I think Michael Bidwell will let Sean Payton do whatever he wants. I think Sean's going to be the next coach of the Cardinals. I think his first choice was the Chargers, but it doesn't look like that job's going to be open. If the Rams open up, if McVay walks away, that was rumored a few weeks ago, maybe that changes the whole game. I think he'll take a job because Sean comes off as someone that is addicted to coaching, and I don't think he's going to sit out for more than a year. So when you ask me if Sean will not take a head coaching job in the offseason, I would go offside.
Offside.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. A lot of points already in this national championship game, 24 to be exact, right before we went to break. TCU answered to the Georgia 10-0 start. Stetson Bennett off to a heck of a start for the Georgia Bulldogs, and it was Max Duggan who did answer back on a rushing touchdown after a big passing play to make it 10-7. Then Georgia quickly answers back as Stetson Bennett threw a long touchdown pass to make it 17-7. In favor of the Bulldogs. Now, Max Duggan and the TCU Horned Frogs are on the move with about 1:10 left here in the first quarter. So we'll keep you up to date as TCU just got a first down. And if you're TCU, as they're just approaching midfield, you just got to weather this storm early because Georgia is just throwing haymakers right out of the gate, and we know how dominant they are. Now, you got to be careful because you haven't seen a team like this Georgia team. Georgia is the best team by far in college football. So if you dig yourself too big of a hole here, especially with how great of a second half team TCU is, you just wonder if they're going to be able to climb out of it. And right now, to only be down 10 with the way that this game feels and the way that this game's been playing out, you should be fortunate to only be down by 10, but you got to find a way to just keep on getting points on the board on this drive, because if you don't get points here on this drive and then you have to punt the ball back or something like that and then Georgia goes up 24-7, I just think that's going to be too big of a deficit. And as the first half comes to a close, it's going to be third down and long as you get ready for the start of the second quarter here for TCU. So this could be a pivotal early third down potential conversion for TCU as they're going to take a timeout and get you set for the start of the second quarter. But Georgia is up 17-7 over TCU. Really couldn't ask for much of a better start if you're Georgia, other than on that second drive off the fumble that they did force. They only settled for a field goal, but with all things considered, for it to be 17-7, if you get off the field here and then make them pay again, geez, this could be looking like a rout. But you got to give credit to TCU. TCU has been an unbelievable story, came out of nowhere, have been just a great you know, TCU, I don't mean this in a disparaging way, Hickey, because I think they've had obviously a better season in college football than this team has in the NFL. But TCU, I think, and I want to be careful how I say this because the Vikings obviously just had some bad losses and TCU only had one loss. But the way that we've been talking or others have been talking about TCU, it's very Minnesota Vikings-like where they've been in so many close games and for the most part Minnesota has prevailed to those games. And that was a wild for TCU. They went through that like 5 or 6 game stretch where it was just close game after close game after close game. They kept on prevailing and people kept on doubting them. Now, obviously with Minnesota, you can't get over the blowout loss to Philadelphia. You can't get over the blowout loss to the Dallas Cowboys. The blowout performance the second time around against the Green Bay Packers. But I think the way that a lot of people have talked about the Vikings, where you know they're good, but then you're skeptical of them all year, is the way that a lot of people did talk about TCU. Now, I'm not expecting the Vikings to go be in a Super Bowl this year, especially because you're going to have to win 3 games to get there, playing on Wild Card Weekend, and we'll see if they can survive up against the Giants. But I see some similarities just in the way that we've talked about TCU through most of the season. People just wait for the other shoe to drop, kind of the same way that people for most of the year up until that Michigan game really did discuss TCU on a national stage.
Yeah, I get they've had close calls, but I think it also kind of is reason for they don't do one thing great, I would say, but they do a lot of things well, and that's part of the reason why you're able to win a lot of close games. And, you know, yes, what are the Vikings now? 11-0, I think, in close games, something like that. It's something crazy. In one-score games, they've gotten very lucky and, for the most part, have, you know, done well. But it's also, like I said, like TCU's beaten good teams, and they also win in different ways, where they can run the ball, they can pass the ball, they could win with defense, where you watch Minnesota, they can really only win in one way, and it's mostly with the offense. They can't rely on their defense whatsoever. So, yeah, TCU's going to need to pull us together. But, again, it's also, I think, in a game like this, all those close games benefit them. Because you learn not to panic. You learn to keep fighting. When you're down 28-10 in Kansas State at home early in the year, you know, okay, we can come back from it. Like, I think actually for all the close calls and maybe viewing that as a negative, kind of like we are with the Vikings, this is a positive in this kind of game where you can kind of hang close with Georgia, a team that blows, for the most part, everybody out every single week.
Other than Ohio State, yeah.
You know, you do kind of benefit from that experience, and you know what it takes to win a close game and not hit the panic button like so many other opponents do when you're playing a team like Georgia.
Now, we have the game on, but it's not as if I'm able to religiously watch this game while I'm talking. I see a lot of conversation on Twitter that TCU just looks like they're not ready and afraid of the moment. So I wonder if when they're able to knock that off a little bit, if they are still able to maintain and keep this a game. And on that third down pass play, they did come up short of the stick. So we'll see if they'll go for it because they're kind of in no man's land right past midfield. So we'll see if TCU is going to go for it here early on. But at 17-7, in a spot now where you're facing a 4th-and-6, if you do end up punting the football and it gets to 24-7, if Georgia answers back with the touchdown, I get being a team that has been in close games all year and you can rely on that experience, 24-7 will just seem like it's going to be too much. And I know how quickly games could change and it's still early. But if Georgia, as TCU just punted the football and Georgia fields it, I believe, down at the, you know, inside their own 10-yard line, if Georgia then finds a way to go on a 90-yard drive here and go up 24-7, I don't care how much close experience you had. I just think you're digging yourself in too deep of a hole against a team that is clearly the best team in the country. Like, you have to find a way to just at the absolute extreme on this drive, if you're TCU, hold them to a field goal attempt. Because anything really more than 20-7 in that spot, it seems like that game starts to feel like it's out of reach, which is how perfect you have to be to have a chance up against Georgia. And you saw it last week with Ohio State. Ohio State, who has more talent than TCU, played as good of a game as you could up against Georgia, and they still lost the game. So this is defensively, and I know it's 14 minutes to go in the second quarter. It is so early. And yeah, I took TCU plus the 12.5 points. I want to see them keep it close, obviously. If they don't find a way to hold Georgia to 3 points here or fewer, you start to look at that deficit. If it gets up to 24-7, I know you have a lot of experience. I know they've been a wonderful team this year in TCU. That seems like too many points for me to be able to expect to go win a game up against Georgia.
Well, yeah, if you allow a 90-yard drive, your defense so far in four drives allowed Georgia to score all four, three touchdowns and a field goal, you don't have a shot. You don't have a prayer. So, yeah, you need your defense to get into high gear and soon.
I would love to see an interception here by Georgia. As someone that does not have a dog in a fight here. Plus TCU the points, but it's not going to make or break my life, obviously. You never gamble above your means. But really not caring who wins this game in the large scheme of things, I would like to see Stetson Bennett maybe cough one up to the other team here. But he has been wonderful to start this game. And in the big moments, say what you want about Stetson Bennett, and I've been a fan of his. But in the big moments, you saw it last year when people were trying to bench him all throughout the year. He just steps up and delivers, and on cue, just delivers a bullet down the field. And that's going to already move Georgia past midfield. So it is getting late early for the TCU Horned Frogs, as you just have Georgia players that are wide open and making big play after big play. If TCU doesn't hold them to a field goal here, Fat Lady may be starting to sing a little bit, as the Dogs could be going back-to-back for national championships. But, wow, Brock Bowers already four receptions, 78 yards. He had the big catch right there. And we'll see how quickly it takes Georgia to put up more points on the board. TCU, let's go. Wake up a little bit. I want to make this a game. But 12-18 to go in the first half. Georgia up 17-7 against TCU.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This NFL postseason, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free. The wild card round, the divisional round, the AFC and NFC championship games, the Pro Bowl game, and Super Bowl 57. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app and WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. It's all sponsored by AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Stetson Bennett, with his third total touchdown of the night, has two rushing touchdowns and a passing touchdown already. And Georgia increases their lead. They are up 24-7. They just went 92 yards like it was nothing against TCU. So Georgia up 24-7 against TCU. Let's update you on the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
So DeMar Hamlin has left the Cincinnati hospital and has been transported to a Buffalo hospital where he will continue his rehab. Just a remarkable recovery, and UC medical doctors say DeMar Hamlin was celebrating during the Bills game in the hospital.
We have permission from him and his family to let you know that he did watch the game on Sunday. He was beyond excited, and feels very supported by the outpouring of love from across the league, and especially from the Buffalo area. We've learned this week that the Bills Mafia is a very real thing, and we all feel the love from you all in Western New York. But you know, he watched the game on yesterday. When the opening kickoff was run back, he jumped up and down, got out of his chair, set, I think, every alarm off in the ICU in the process. But he was fine. It was just an appropriate reaction to a very exciting play. So he very much enjoyed it and enjoys the support from everyone.
You just keep on smiling when you get these updates. And who would have thought we'd been able to smile this much with what we saw a week ago? It is just remarkable. Josh Allen gets choked up talking about the kickoff return as the Bills opened up the game with a 96-yard kickoff return for a touchdown by Nyheim Hines, and how they related back to DeMar Hamlin.
You can't draw that one up, write that one up any better. And I was just told by Kevin Curran, it's been 3 years and 3 months. Since the last kickoff return, so it's pretty cool.
An emotional week for Buffalo, ended with the victory, but really the biggest victory wasn't on the field. It's just the health and the continued good news that we get to hear about DeMar Hamlin. The Green Bay Packers last night, all they needed to do was win and they would be in the postseason. As we've seen the last few years, more heartbreak at Lambeau Field. 2020, they lose to Tampa. 2021, they lose to the 49ers. And this year, what probably makes this one the worst is, you know, Rodgers has respect for Brady up against Tampa. You know, Rodgers had struggles up against the 49ers. He has no respect for the Detroit Lions. And his offense only able to put up 16 points against the Lions, and he threw a crucial pick. Aaron Rodgers on if he knows what his plans are for the 2023 season. Will he retire? Is he going to force a trade, or is he going to come back and play for the Packers?
I want to take the emotion out of it and have conversations and see where the organization's at and see how I feel after some time has passed.
And he was asked directly if he'd be open to playing for another team in 2023.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't like saying never, but got to see how I'm feeling first once the emotion's out of it, and then have the right conversations and see what the best direction is.
Hickey, I know that you think he's going to be playing with another team next year. When I hear that answer, though, and he's almost about to say, like, I'll never play for someone else, but, oh, I don't want to say never, it makes me think, just based off that answer, I don't want to read too much into one Rodgers' answer because a lot of things that he says are misleading, but it makes you think that right now in his mind he's thinking, I either retire or come back and play for Green Bay.
Or maybe he realizes, you know, he talked about yesterday, you know, having it be a mutual decision between him and the front office. Maybe the Packers want to go with Jordan Love. And they say, you know, we're going to, you know, thank for your service. We're going to move on to the young guy. And maybe he still wants to play and there's no room at the end for him. Then what do you do?
So you're saying if the front office comes to him and says, we don't want you anymore, then that's a different scenario.
Basically, yeah.
Sure. I don't know if the front office is going to do that after they just issued him a 3-year extension last year. Aaron Rodgers is asked if the disappointment of missing the playoffs will fuel him to return to the Packers next season.
Not really. I mean, I have a lot of pride in what I've accomplished in this league. you know, a lot of ways I don't feel like we should have been even in this position with some of the games that we lost, especially in that stretch of five games. But this is the reality we're in. And obviously didn't get it done tonight. You know, you want to go out winning the Super Bowl. But very rare that that actually gets to happen. Don't want to, you know, lose your last game and miss out on the playoffs. But this is a great profession and a really tough business, and doesn't always end with rainbows for everybody.
Now you hear that answer, it's like, uh-oh, is he going to retire? I'm just so sick of this. Take 2 weeks. Make a decision. I know you'll drag this out, but please don't drag it out. Not encouraging, though, if you're a Packers fan and you hear your guy go, yeah, no, not really. I've accomplished so much in this league. One loss is going to motivate me to really do anything. Alan Lazard, this is bizarre, on if he thinks Aaron Rodgers will be back with the Packers next year.
I don't know where I'm going to be at. I can't worry about somebody else. Have you done a lot of reflecting about that when you left the field tonight?
You know, definitely going into the game, I kind of had a realization that my first game here and potentially my last game, which it is, was going to be versus the Lions at home. So, you know, I took just a few moments just to kind of soak it all in and just, like, pat myself on the back, I guess, and just be thankful for this opportunity and this experience to be here for 4+ years now.
That seems like a guy who's saying, all right, I know Rodgers and I are really close and tight, but enough about him. If they didn't pay Davante Adams, they're not going to pay me. I'll be probably somewhere else. That wasn't encouraging either. Dan Campbell, talk about encouraging. 9-8 Lions finish off the season, and they beat the Packers twice. Dan Campbell's proud on how his team closed out the season.
That was a good win. It was a great win. Our guys, I was proud of our guys. They played their ass off. They were ready for this game, and you know, they wanted to prove something, and they did that. And this team was just hung in there all year long. I said it. It's a special group.
He's awesome. And when they got off to that horrible start, you were wondering, okay, is the shtick going to wear out? But then you continue what he does when you find a way to get the Lions to 9-8. Can't see where they are next year. And I got to give a lot of credit to Jared Goff. I thought Goff played some really good football this year for the Lions, and many people wrote him off. Joe Burrow, who's the coolest quarterback in the NFL these days, is asked how wide open the Bengals Super Bowl window is.
The window's my whole career, and everybody that we have in that locker room, all the coaches we have, you know, things are going to change year to year, but our window's always open.
Yeah, when you have Joe Burrow there, no doubt about it, the window is always open. You saw what he did at LSU, came out of nowhere, wins a national championship, undefeated, becomes the number one overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner, and in his first full year as a starter in the NFL, takes the Bengals, to the Super Bowl. Let's listen up to Nick Sirianni, who says Jalen Hurts wasn't 100% healthy yesterday.
We didn't feel like there was more risk, but, you know, I know he was hurting. He was hurting bad, but that's the kind of competitor that he is. That's the kind of the person that he is and the kind of teammate and leader that he is, that he was able to go out there and stick and tough through it.
I think for the Eagles, they wanted to play him yesterday knowing he wasn't 100% just to try to knock off some of that rust, because you're going to have a bye week and you expected that you were going to get the bye week even if you weren't able to play Jalen Hurts. So I think that did factor into the decision yesterday. Brandon Staley, his game meant nothing. His team's been dealing with injuries all year. They're finally starting to get healthy. Then Mike Williams leads the game with an injury. Brandon Staley, and why he left his starters in for so long.
We only have 48 guys on team that are active for the game. And so we wanted to make sure that they went a good ways in this football game and competed at a high level. And then when we felt like it was right for them to get out of the game, then that's what we were going to do.
Coach, that game meant nothing. I know you have to play some people, but your main guys that have been dealing with injuries should not have been on the field yesterday. Sean Payton on what he's looking for in his next team.
I think it's more, everyone's asked about that, like city or quarterback. I think it's more about ownership and front office. I think, look, there's no utopia. All these teams that we just saw Jay go through, they're all moving on for reasons. And some of them, you got to be careful. If it's not just the coach, that there's other problems that are deeper. So for me, it would be ownership and front office.
That courtesy of Fox, and you wonder how much of the front office will he have control of, or will he bring his own people in as well? Also part of the conversation, too. I do think he'll be coaching this year, even though it probably could behoove him to take another year off. Doug Peterson, so proud of the Jaguars for winning the AFC South.
You know, I'm so proud of the guys for the way they have just all season long just hung together and you know, through the face of adversity at times and even through some of the high moments, you know, we just stayed the same. Just stayed the same.
I love Doug Peterson. That dude won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia, then got to the playoffs and could have got to another NFC title game when they went back to Nick Foles a year after that. Then also got to the playoffs another time with Carson Wentz towards the end of the season. And the fact that so many people didn't want him, and what he's done with Jacksonville shows you what happens. You bring an adult in the room. And finally, Mike McDaniel says he's hoping to find out the extent of Tua's health by Wednesday.
Has not been cleared for that level yet. I'm hoping to, with all three active roster quarterbacks, they all have injury-related concerns. I'm hoping to have some clarity on Wednesday. But as of right now, it's literally the same, if not more vague, than when I just saw you guys last.
So Tua has not cleared concussion protocol yet, and maybe they'll get more clarity by Wednesday. Max Duggan has thrown a pick. It's 24-7. Georgia up on TCU. Georgia has the ball, and they are driving. This is starting to feel like Alabama-Notre Dame a little bit from all those years ago.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.